Welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 118. My name is Will Wilson, and with me tonight is John Jordan.
Hello, Will. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing, John?
You sound a little bit hyper. Are you kind of end of the week syndrome?
It's too much. It's the combination of... The problem is I've got decaf coffee and I've got normal coffee. And yeah. Occasionally, I don't bother looking at which one I'm taking out of the cupboard.
Yes,
and they both kind of taste the same to me because they're frozen, dry frozen coffees. So I think I've had about two cups of coffee along with two cans of Coke today. Coke Zero, mind, no sugar. So yeah, I may be a little bit hyper, or I may crash out all of a sudden. So if you hear a thump, that's the caffeine load kicking in. So, yes, we've got a lot of news to get through this week, so we better just crack on. Tracy's not with us this week, just in case you're wondering why I haven't said hello to Tracy yet. I'm just ignoring him. Yeah, it's just the two of us, so hope you can put up with that for the rest of the show. All right, let's move on to the news. Well, let's kick off the news with the announcement that we have a new comment system on the website.
Big news of the week.
That is my new big comment news. System. Awesome. That means you won't see any more spam. So if you're a regular visitor to the website, you'll have to register again and do some stuff. There's a news story up about it. But yeah, it means no more spam invasions, which have been driving us here at Pocket Gamer Towers absolutely crazy. But it's cool. We locked up Jay in the cupboard. Didn't feed him.
Was he doing the spam?
Yeah, he was doing the... yeah, he was the one responsible.
Was he a fifth columnist? Our web designer was actually spamming us.
Yeah, it was like a terrible Philip K. Dick moment where he actually realizes he was the spammer. But there's not really that much difference between them and us, John.
Is it not?
Okay. No. Those Android robots that send the spam. Anyway, yeah, so we've got a new comment system. So if you've been driven away from the website because of spam, you can come back now. It's fine. It's okay. And also the other Pocket Gamer related news is that the Reader Awards is still open. So if you pop over to the website, you can vote for your favorite game on all the platforms. So yes, let's move on to the real news. Should I do the theme again? Because that was kind of like the not real news.
Yeah.
Let's do the theme again.
News!
Right, yes, news. Let's, we'll go on to this. This sounds really weird for us because we haven't actually got any themes moving in here. It's like radio. Anyway, cut the rope.
Yes,
it's the rope. It's won a gaming BAFTA. Yesterday evening, from my recording. Gaming BAFTA Awards, 7th year. It's been in motion. 7th year of the BAFTA Awards, and the Cut the Rope...
What are the BAFTAs, Will? People might not know what the BAFTAs are.
It's the British Academy of Film and Television Arts, so it doesn't actually include games per se. They normally do what is the sort of British equivalent of the Oscars, like just before the Oscars, because otherwise no one will care. But they've started, well, they recently, in the last 7 years, they've started doing gaming awards, because they're one of the few organizations, arts organizations in the UK that recognize them so as an art form. So, yeah, but Cut the Rope was up for handheld game. It was the only iOS game to get nominated. It was up against Professor Layton and God of War and stuff like this. And it won. It's the first iOS game to win an award at the award show. Not the first iOS game to win an award at all, but the first one at the Bo Gaming BAFTAs, which is normally, you know, home console and all that jazz.
Although it used to be back in the day, there was, I remember like N-Gage games used to be nominated, you know, 7 years ago. So I guess it depends on what hardware is there. I don't know. I've sat on these panels before and I kind of think it's almost impossible, you know, to something like Cut the Rope versus God of War. I mean, it's just kind of like a...
Kratos,
it's just a completely ridiculous comparison to make. So,
I guess so. I haven't played Ghost of Sparta. I've heard it's very good, but I have played Cut the Rope, so it gets my vote. That's how I'd do it.
Well, officially, when I used to judge them, you used to get you'd be expected to play them to some degree. A big box of games would arrive.
You had to got play free them. Games.
Yeah, it was. It was like if you not that I've ever obviously been on the Booker Awards. Where you have to read all the books.
You've got free books.
I didn't do the Bookers, but no, it's a big. It's a hassle because you literally a box of about 30 games turned up, and you had to like. I mean, I guess most people don't play them, so. But me being, dutiful, tempted to. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, congratulations to Zepto and Chillingo for that. So, right. Moving on. We'll go for. We'll be up next. Oh no! Let's mention the Capcom. They're holding a sale at the moment for Street Fighter 4, I think. But it's an unusual sale in the fact that basically Street Fighter 4 has been reduced to 59p, and all the proceeds will go to the Japanese earthquake and tsunami relief effort. So if you've been holding out for Street Fighter 4 price cut, not only will you get it for a cheap price, but you'll also get to feel a little bit better about yourself because you'll be donating to a good cause.
See, I don't understand that. Why they've reduced the price? Surely for charity, you put the price up. What's the point of charity? It's like a 99-cent game.
I guess the thing is,
it's completely the wrong thing to do.
Well, I was actually tempted to get Street Fighter 4 at 59p.
But supposing you've already bought Street Fighter, you can't buy it again, can you? So.
Well, no. Yeah, I guess. But, I mean... It's a tempting price. It'll get more people. I think it'll get more people actually buying it. Because I'm pretty sure most people will... I mean, if you want to donate, you'd either use, you know, the iTunes donation thing, which goes to the Red Cross, if you haven't seen that, and then load up iTunes. Or you'll go to one of the, you know, disaster relief sites. But this is just a nice way to say to gamers, you know, hey, you can donate and you'll get a good game. It's like a bribe. No, it's not. It's nothing like a bribe. I think it's quite good. I mean, they're going to sell more, I'd say. If they just kept the price the same and said that all the proceeds go to charity, it won't. I don't think it would actually get as much.
Well, it depends what you're trying to do. It depends whether you're trying to raise money, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because obviously, putting a game down to 99 cents is going to raise a minuscule amount of money in the big scheme of things.
I don't know. It shot straight to the top of the charts. So where was it in top grossing? Because I think it was quite high on that as well, which would suggest that, you know.
I mean, the other thing is, will Apple give back the 30%? I mean, they won't, obviously. No. If you want to, don't start me about charity. That could be a long podcast.
Okay. Well, we'll move on from that. But if you are interested, I think it's running to the end of this week. So, check it out. Street Fighter 4 is a good game as well, apparently. I haven't played it. I was going to buy it at 59p, but I can't run it on the iPod Touch second gen, so it's not really...
You do it for charity, though. Just buy it for charity, surely.
I'll donate through the other link. It's fine. Anyway, moving on. We've got some... let's go to a new game announcement. It's Gameloft, one of our regulars on the podcast. They're pretty much always mentioned. They've got a new game out. They just announced it about 2 hours ago.
Not out.
Not out yet. Sorry, it's been announced. They have got a new game out. They got it's not the one we're going to talk about, but they've got that Ghost Recon game out as well. It's out. It just came out today. Yes.
Maybe that's what Tracy's doing. Then. Tracy's probably beavering away reviewing it.
He probably is.
Speak.
Django down. Open the door. Probably is shouted. anyway, yeah, Gameloft announced a new game today. And I got to say, the reaction in the office, the virtual office, was one of more of sort of amazement than anything else.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because they've gone really big with this one.
Surprising, isn't it?
Yeah. I think none of us saw this one coming. They've basically... what's the name of it? Let's get the proper game.
Order and Chaos.
Order and Chaos. Yes, Order and Chaos Online is the name. And it's World of Warcraft. Well, it's not World of Warcraft. It's a World of Warcraft... Sort of style game. Yeah, styled game. That's a good way of putting it. Which is unusual because World of Warcraft is quite a large game. And it's quite an ambitious...
You recently interviewed an important Gameloft person, didn't you?
I did, yes.
He told you the games were going to cost 7 figures, didn't he? So
yes, he did.
Now
he
you know what
big budget games. Yeah. Now we know what they've been working on.
Exactly.
I don't think they've mentioned what sort of pricing model they're going to use for this, because this is this should be interesting to see.
Nah, it'd just be in-app purchase.
Will it be in-app? Yeah, I guess.
What else are they going to do? No one else does anything else. People try subscription. No one does subscription. Yeah, I mean, they tried the try before you buy thing. That didn't work either. I'd be amazed.
Have they used subscription in any of their games, though?
I mean, they haven't. No. But the people who have tried subscription, it's just been a complete disaster. I mean, Gameloft could do something clever, because they could bundle other games in there or something. So you could do a subscription model that would mean you could rent, potentially anyway. But I just think the in-app thing just completely works, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah. So it looks nice.
It looks like a
proper 3D MMORPG. The draw distance doesn't look incredible, as you probably imagine, but the actual look of the graphics looks very Warcraft, and the way everything's laid out with the skills in the bottom corner and everything. I did actually play World of Warcraft for a bit. Did I omit this to you at one point?
I've no idea.
No, I don't think I did. Well, it's a dirty secret. I once danced to Warcraft's tune. But only for about a month or two, and then I found it very boring. I couldn't get into it. But I did for a month or two, though, so that doesn't hold water. Anyway, yes, so they're going to be bringing out this World of Warcraft styled game. When is it out? Later this year, I think.
It just says soon.
Yeah, soon.
Could be anything, couldn't it?
Could be there next. So they seem to release a new game every month, or at least two games every month, it seems so. Maybe their April release. Just guessing here, though. Don't quote me on that. Yes, so that's cool. So, stay tuned for that. We'll no doubt have more news of it later on. Let's go to another one of our popular developers who always pop up on the podcast. Rovio, who you might remember made Bounce on the Nokia 9210. And a number of hit Java games. There's quite an interesting quote from them this week, where their mighty eagle, otherwise known as Peter Vesterbacker. Is that really it?
Something like that, yeah.
He has claimed that the console games are dying.
says a developer who's not really making console games, who's never made any console games.
Angry Birds is on PSN, I think.
PSN, not really. I mean, it's kind of one of these things. It's not, I don't know. I mean, it's not untrue, but it's just, it's like a man says sun will rise tomorrow morning. I mean, it's kind of like, well, yeah.
It's good, though. It makes a change from quoting, what's his face, from the analyst who always says stuff like this.
I don't know, he's good, though.
He's quite fun, yeah.
No, he's actually good.
What?
What do you mean, what?
I wouldn't say he's good. I'd say he's quite fun.
Have you ever interviewed him?
No.
He's very good.
Oh, okay.
He's surprisingly, he's a proper analyst. He has proper spreadsheets with numbers. He doesn't just come up with mad ideas.
He is very heavy on the quotes.
On the quotes?
Yeah, I mean, he's very good for quotes.
Yes, no, he is. No, he's a rent a mouth, but I was quite surprised when I spoke to him in detail about something or other a while ago. Yeah, that he actually runs proper figures about stuff, and he has lots of anyway, we're waffling on about something else.
All right.
The whole thing, the console game thing. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, I guess the problem is, like, probably Peter, as I heard his speech at GDC, you know, he'll say something, he'll, like, talk for an hour. And obviously, as a journalist, what you do is you try and pick out the bit you think people are going to be interested in reading. So he'll mention loads of stuff, and it just happened to be this bit will be something that's picked out. I mean, and it'll be given a context because it's someone from Rovio talking about it, whereas pretty much everyone knows that's what's happened. I mean, that's, you know, the Bizarre Creations have gone bust because console game, you know, the model has changed. You know, you can't sell. So it's not console games that are going. It's retail. It's $40 retail games. You know, that's kind of what the kind of structural change to put my biz hat on that's happened. You know, and partly that's been to do with download models. But you know, how many Xboxes have they sold? How many PlayStation 360s have they sold? How many Wii's have they sold? The console games industry isn't even dead, is it? People are still, there's still lots of boxes out there. What's just happening is the type of games people are playing has changed quite radically.
EA have said that their 40% of their profits come from downloads now.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Well, it's the same. I mean, like, you know, there's lots of companies who 100% of their games come from downloads.
Mm.
Or, you know, so it's not, I mean, yeah, this is what it's going to be. I mean, but that's not even a game thing, is it? That's a wider move. You know, it's the music industry. That's the film industry.
It's the move from albums to singles.
Oh, yeah, all these, yeah, whatever. This isn't the story. Why are we talking about this? This isn't the story. This console games are dying.
I think it was half said that even like I saw in some of the more home console focused sites, all the readers there going absolutely ballistic.
Yeah, of course, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's kind of, it's a, if you're a journalist, you write that kind of stuff up because you know the little fanboys are going to throw their rattles out the pram, aren't they? I mean,
they're going to get absolutely upset. Yes, well, we'll move on from one inflammatory quote. let's move on to another. Wait a minute,
we're going to move on to another one.
well, no, it's not quite the same level. But Chair have come out to say that Shadow Complex, this is like the flip side of this story, Shadow Complex 2 will not be made for touchscreen controllers because you can't shoehorn console controls onto touch controls or onto touch screens.
True. Well, you can, but it makes a rubbish game.
Mm. Yeah.
And as we know, you know, that's been the whole issue for shooters, isn't it? I mean, that's been the whole, every time anyone's released a shooter on a touch device, the big issue has always been the controls. You know, you can kind of get away with something. You know, it's not make a playable game, but it's never optimal, is it?
Mm.
It's the best experience you've had with the shooter. You know,
I don't think I've tried one with gyroscope controls yet. That's what I'd be interested in.
Well, so you actually move around. You actually have to move your body. Yeah.
Well, no, if it was calibrated so you only needed very slight adjustments, that would work. Because at the moment, all I find that's a real problem with first-person shooters is that the thumb you need for looking around is the same you need for firing.
Yeah, well, no, but this is, yeah, I mean, this is like the fundamental issue. How do you shoehorn all those controls in? You know, the only really option you do is go for on rails like it did, and then everyone moans.
Mm.
And if you know, Chair are very good because they gave a talk at GDC about how they came up with Infinity Blade, and they were, you know, they were very sure about how they wanted those controls to be. And it's a very, you know, no one else has really come up with a game like that in terms of the control and how they thought about a very specific, you know, way in which that game is played. And it's just with a single, you know, with a single swipe. And that's the whole thing of the game. Okay, it happened to be a sword game.
Fruit Ninja.
Yeah, but Fruit Ninja is not the same. It's not the.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
The way you're using a swipe, you know, with Fruit Ninja, you're just doing the swipe wherever you want to. Whereas in Infinity Blade, where you do the swipe and what direction is the whole gameplay, or for the core gameplay. So yeah. Very clever guy. Those Chair guys.
And they're going to have a multiplayer patch out soon, like in the summer, I think.
It's been promised for ages, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah. I think the last update said June, July or summer like that. Don't quote me on it. I'm just saying, I might be just talking random crap here. But yeah, I think so. But yeah, that should be interesting to see how the sort of control method works when you're up against a human opponent.
Yeah, well, the lag will be the issue, won't it? But they could have a clever way of, do you break out the turns and do you just make it more kind of turn based, or, you know, doing this stuff.
That was all what we thought it was going to be initially, didn't we, when it was first announced.
Yeah. And it kind of is. I mean, you know, I mean, these terms, real time and turn based, are, you know, in a sense, real time is just turn based in a very, very small turn period, isn't it?
You're getting very philosophical.
Yeah, should we move on?
okay, well, we have that's it for the news, I think. Let's take a trip down to the rumour mine, see what the rumour mine has got for us.
Rumour. Rumour.
Hello.
Do do do
do. Right.
Is he there?
I don't know. I'm having a look. Hold this with you. That's a good fellow.
Not again.
Sorry about the slime. Yes. Okay. I think I found something here. No. Sorry. That's just a bone. There we go. Here we are. I found a tablet. It's an iPad 2. Right. And on the iPad 2, he's scratched onto the screen. I don't know why he's done that. He could have used an app. Anyway. He scratched onto the screen that the upcoming Rage game for iPhone and iPad is going to focus on vehicle combat. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I mean, we already know that the vehicles are going to be in the main home console release. Mm. And I think we already knew that it was going to be a vehicle-ish game. But maybe not car combat.
It's very specific.
The broom owner is getting very specific. He's rooting out the truth from the specific rocks. I don't know where I was going. But yes, so it's not going to be on rails.
But that's kind of complicated, isn't it, you think? Kind of.
I don't know, with a car game.
Driving and shooting at the same time.
Because car, you see, it'd be like that thing with the gyroscope, sort of moving the screen to drive. I know you don't like that method of controls, but I do. I find it invigorating.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's tap to fire at mutant enemies and then use the accelerometer to steer. But he doesn't expect it to be announced until WWDC. It might be a flagship game. He's written quite a lot of extra bits underneath the main piece of rumours. Anyway, let's move on to this other tablet, which is an iPad 1. There's going to be a European level pack for Tapper World Tour, which was released this week. The Don Bluth sketched remake of Tapper, which I remember playing on the Spectrum. What?
Why are they doing a European pack then?
I think it's because it's called Tapper World Tour and it only has North and South America.
That makes sense.
But yes, apparently it's due for release later this spring, and it's going to... I think it's going to... What does it say here?
So it's not just available for people in Europe then?
It's just, no. It's going to be a level pack.
Okay, fine.
I'm finding his handwriting. I don't know how Tracy manages to read his handwriting so well. It says... it's probably going to be in-app purchases, I think he writes. But it might include Paris and London. Well, no, it should include Paris and London and a few other notable hotspots, he's written. Well, no, actually, wait. Yeah, Paris and London, I think, were the things that will feature.
Cambridge? Is Cambridge going to be on the list?
Cambridge should be on the list, but I doubt it will be.
Not really a hotspot, is it?
There's loads of pubs in Cambridge. It's like...
There's loads of pubs?
Well, yeah, well, Tapper, he's serving beer at a bar. Hey, you know what? One of the pubs in Cambridge, you get a menu for your beers. It has a menu of over like 400 beers from around the world. Yeah, crazy stuff. If you want to know what a South African or a Taiwanese beer sounds like. Yeah. But anyway, you can get them all. Sorry, John.
That's very impressive.
Thank you. Right, okay, what's this next rumor? Oh, dear, what's this tablet? Oh, dear. I think this tablet is dead. It's the Samsung Galaxy Tab 7-inch. What does it say? It says... right, okay. Sonic the Hedgehog 4, Episode 2.
Really?
Oh, yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog 4.
Give up
he's,
on this.
He's written the most disappointing rumor on the most disappointing tablet. Episode 2 will be revealed during E3. I guess that's not a... Well, I... I never played... I'm just going to edit that out. Everyone's going to think I'm going to move straight into this professional bit where I say, I never played Sonic the Hedgehog Episode 4. Episode 1. I never played Episode 4 either. Because I don't really like Sonic the Hedgehog that much.
I don't like Sonic the Hedgehog very much either. No.
I think it's...
And they've all been crap, haven't they?
Yeah. I know a lot of people listening to this podcast are going to be really shaking their heads and going, no, 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 like that.
But I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it, where, you know, you have a character you grew up with when you were a kid, you know, that you kind of really love, and then it just doesn't quite kind of you know, maybe it's partly being a kid and it's happened to be on the Sega hardware. It was, you know, it was signature, yeah. And they've really struggled, I think, since they've not had Sega hardware. I mean, there's been, you know, some all right ones, but generally, they've not done a very good job, have they?
No.
Really.
Well, I don't like it. I mean, this one, the episode wasn't meant to be all right, and it was meant to be better than the emulated ones on the iPhone, which I have played and I didn't like. I mean, I played the originals on the Mega Drive way back, but I didn't have a Mega Drive, so I don't think I have that sort of nostalgic connection that you were talking about. It was just around a friend's house kind of thing.
So I think the other kind of problem with Sonic is obviously when it was designed as that, it was like, you know, it was speed was the whole thing of it, and now that's quite difficult to, you know, you can't just get it faster. You know, it was like a Mario, you can just go, oh, we've got more levels or we can less stuff on it. If you just speed, it's just kind of like, well, how, you can't go any faster. I mean, it's just, you know, I think it's hard to kind of keep that fresh.
I think Sonic fans would correct you there and say it wasn't just about speed, it was about the whole changing pace, and it was about the clever level design as well as the multi-tiered approach to levels. But yeah, I don't like them. Hang on, there's one last bit here. It's it's fine. Okay, well that's it from the Rumor Miner. I think he'll be back next week as well, so stay tuned for more cutting edge rumors then. For now though, we're going to be leaving his den and moving straight on to the What We've Been Playing films.
What We've Been Playing.
Hello. I'm going to go first, John.
You can go first, that's all right.
Yeah, so I'll go first. One game this week from me, and it is an iPad exclusive called Raiding Company. And it's a twin-stick shooter from Tukyo. Tukyo? Tukyo.
That well-known games company
that I'm mumbling while I look for it. It is called... Where is it? Huh. Oh, yeah, there it is. I've been playing Raiding Company by Tukyo. Even when I have it in front of me, I can't pronounce it. What a wait. We waited 2 minutes for me to find that name and I'd still pronounced it the same. Yes, it's a iPad exclusive. It's a twin-stick shooter set in the tombs.
In the tombs.
And you basically play one of four adventurers, which involve a robot or a woman with a chain gun or a man with his shotgun, and you have to steal a precious treasure and then survive 10 waves of enemies.
Fairly arcadey.
After you've done that four times, then you unlock the survival mode, which is basically mini gore, one of the countless others.
There's no campaign mode.
Not really, no.
That's. Is it good? Does it add anything different?
Well, actually, funny you should say that, because it does have one killer USP, as they call it in the biz, which is that you can play it four player on one device. Which is
four players,
yes. Which sounds too good to be true.
Sounds a bit cramped.
Yeah, it is a bit cramped. It works reasonably well. It's just the camera doesn't really pull back enough. So if one of you wants to go in any other direction other than the rest of the group, then you'll kind of get a bit stuck.
In the same room though.
It's not so bad. But also you need to put the iPad on a towel or something, because it's got that curved back. So if you've got four people on the corners, you know what's going to happen. It's all right. But the problem is, other than the four player mode, there really isn't anything unique or original about this. The graphics are nice and clean. They're sort of what you'd expect a sort of twin stick shooter to be. The monsters look like they've been ripped straight out of Minigore, out of interest. Like they're zombies, but they have square heads, you know, that sort of design. And there's a really odd I mean, it has a weapon upgrading system, which is meant to add a bit of risk and reward. Like, the zombies die and they drop these triangles. And the triangles fade after about 10 seconds. But, of course, when you've shot the zombies, there's normally about 10 others around them. So it's all about, you know, it's meant to be risk-reward. And if you collect the triangles, upgrade your weapons. But when you upgrade your weapons, nothing seems to happen. It's just, it just says it's upgraded, which is odd. And some of the characters aren't as good as others, quite obviously not as good as others. So if someone picks, like, the guy with the shotgun, they've got a massive advantage over the guy with the, like, throwing axes, which is... No, he doesn't upgrade, you see. None of them upgrade, even though they say they do.
But presumably the whole point is, it's like the whole melee range thing that you need...
No, he's not. He's not melee. He's throwing these axes.
Which that's melee compared to... I mean, isn't it? That's ranged, isn't it? If you're throwing axes, you can... hit people further away than the guy with the shotgun, presumably. Isn't that the point?
No, but his speed of delivery is slow, and he his damage isn't as high as the shotgun. And also, you don't really have that sort of moments where they're far away enough for the shotgun not to be effective.
Sounds like a rather unbalanced...
Yeah, it is a bit. Oh, and there's no real sort of... I mean, like, the four-player mode is good, but it doesn't really do enough with it. I mean, you all play a single game, and at the end, whoever picked up the most triangles before you all perished, like, wins. Okay. But that's it. I'd have kind of wanted a bit more than that. Like,
yes, it sounds like it needs a bit. Sounds like it needs a bit more of a campaign mode, doesn't it?
Yeah, a bit more campaign. Leaderboards would be nice as well. And just a way, maybe of like saving, like, say your friends come round and like you save each one has a name and you can save them on your machine, and you have a bit more of a grudge match going on, you know.
Yep.
The points meaning something. But never mind.
Bit of polish.
Bit of polish. I mean, it's perfectly good. It's perfectly... I gave it a 6, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like a 6 to me.
And it's... I mean, if you do like twin stick shooters and you've got 3 friends who also like it, I mean, there's no harm in popping down like the pound or something to buy it. I mean, it's not a bad game. But it's not anything that'll in particular...
Maybe you should be giving your pound to Capcom.
Maybe you should be
for their charity.
Capcom.
70 cents of it.
However, Street Fighter 4 isn't on the iPad, as far as I know.
Ah, that's true. That was a silly comment.
It was a silly comment. It was. I'm glad you realized that. So Spreading Company. Yeah, okay. That's kind of my reaction to it.
Your reaction.
I'm sure someone will enjoy it. But...
Okay.
Job.
I've been playing 4 things this week. That's greedy, isn't it?
What?
Go fast. Oh. Fast through them. Okay, so the first one is Vegas Towers, which is a game I first saw at GDC, and it's an online game from one of the people who did one of the first online subscription games called Castle Craft. And that was when I was talking about subscription games don't work because they changed to freemium quite quickly. Anyway, Vegas Towers is more of a kind of like a sim tower type thing. So you're basically running a big hotel kind of block thing in Las Vegas, and it's a fairly typical kind of time management game where you put shops and fast food outlets in and build hotel rooms, and they drop money every certain periods of time, and then you build more things and you compare your towers to other people, and there's a kind of vague upgrade tree, so you want to kind of upgrade to get, you know, good hotel rooms, and you get some more money. And
it sounds like my kind of game.
At the moment, it's only on iPad. It's going to come out for iPhone when they've kind of like... like all these kind of things, there's a few kind of server glitches. But the developers are quite kind of good at kind of, you know, talking back to you when you say, oh, this doesn't work. I kind of think I know they have plans to have more kind of sociability into it. It's like a version, I don't know, it'll be version 1.2 or version 2.0. So at the moment, I would say it's kind of quite beta-y. So I will probably at some point be publishing some kind of not a review, but kind of like a, you know, impressions of kind of thing. So that's that one. There's another game which is kind of the exact opposite, called Overkill, which is it's still a freemium game. So it's well worth kind of checking out if you're into guns. I mean, it's very guns. So it's a gun upgrade game. So you have 12 different guns, and by... Again, it's kind of a similar thing where it's a shooting range gun.
Shooting range gun.
Okay. So effectively, all you're doing is you get your gun, you get see like a little sight on the screen, and then you're kind of just moving this gun sight over the enemies as they pop up. like in a shooting gallery, and then pressing the fire button to shoot them. It's all about accuracy, and as you upgrade your gun, you get faster speed and more accuracy, and you get put telescopic sights on it. And
it sounds a bit like a sort of non-animal killing version of Deer Hunter.
Well, it's not because it's completely arcade. So there's like waves of stuff happening all the time. You know, there's no subtlety in what you do. Basically, the subtleties, and it actually, I mean,
still sounds like Deer Hunter.
Okay, but what's really interesting is partly the way you do get better at it, because the waves are completely random, so you're not doing pattern recognition, but you're just being fast about moving your gun around the screen and kind of shooting these things, and you get grenade launchers, and it's kind of where you use them. So you do get kind of better at it to a degree, but a lot of it, because it's freemium, a lot of it is to, you get these bottlenecks where you're like, oh, I really want the M16 with the blah, blah, blah. Like I've been playing it for how many hours? I've only unlocked 4 guns and there's like 12. So it's kind of, but the impressive thing is actually the presentation is very, very good. I'm very impressed with the presentation and has very good kind of stats and achievements and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so it's worth checking out if you're into guns. Basically, if you're a 14-year-old boy, have a look at that one. another one. What am I doing? All right. Okay. So there's another game that's not out yet. I think it's out next week, called Race After 1977, and it's kind of an apocalyptic racer kind of game. And it's really odd. It's one of these games where the control system really seems to really matter. So it's just a fairly straightforward kind of racer where you're racing and you have to be in the top three to kind of progress and you unlock cars and stuff, and so you're learning tracks. But when I was playing it on the standard tilt controls, it was like the controls are unbelievably all over the place. I mean, the sensitivity is just terrible. It's almost unplayable. And so I thought, oh, maybe it's just me, I'm tilting it wrong. So I tried the little steering wheel to move, and that was even worse. So in the final thing, you just basically have effectively, because it goes in the digital control, you have left and right. So you just press left and right, and then suddenly, it was really good to play. I mean, graphically, it's fairly blocky and the textures aren't very good. So it almost feels like a bit of a kind of old PC game. Maybe that's why the controls are better digital. But now I'm actually quite enjoying it. So,
Is it a bit like, what view is it?
There's third person view. There's different views. I mean, the camera.
Is it a bit like Interstate 76 in its post-apocalyptic 1970s vision?
As I say, kind of graphically, the presentation isn't all that good, but it's just the kind of it has that kind of, for the best racing game, I'm not a big racing game kind of fan, I have to say, and it's probably a little bit too easy, but just when you're catching the right angles to drive around, it's a fairly arcadey kind of physics model, so you're kind of sliding, you're kind of getting very sideways. I guess it's like, you know, almost like a Ridge Racer kind of like. So anyway, I mean, that's not out yet, so I'm playing a kind of pre-release version, so maybe, I don't know how much that will change. But and the final one is one called Bird Zapper, which is a game that I again saw at GDC, which I was quite impressed with, from Namco, and they've held it back. It's supposed to be out this week. They've held it back to do some tweaks to it, and it's the headline kind of comparison is Bejeweled versus Fruit Ninja. So basically, if you can imagine moving left to right, there's these little kind of birds, and they're supposed to be like birds on a telephone wire. So you start off with 3 rows, and it can go up to 5, and they move slowly across at slightly different speeds, and you're basically waiting to 3 or more of these birds to, you know, line up, and then you're kind of like drawing a gesture to join them up, and then they get electrocuted and disappear, and then everything kind of shoves up. So it's like an active Bejeweled kind of match, but then you can do these really big gestures, so you're joining up like maybe 7 or 8 of them, and everything's moving around, then you get power-ups and freezes and bombs and tapping things, and a kind of simple gameplay. You know, it's like a 99 cent game when it comes out, but it's just, it has that, I guess, that kind of replayability, and it has like a Zen mode and a Blitz 60 second mode and all the usual high score kind of stuff. So yeah, so that's what I've been playing.
Could it be another? What is the current game that
know.
Could
I mean,
be? Could it be another Angry Birds?
No, I don't think it's another Angry Birds. I kind of think it's kind of one of those games where it is. You know, when you kind of finish, you know, when you kind of lose, but it's a kind of thing where you have energy, and when you basically run out of energy, you kind of always want to immediately go back and play it again. So it's that kind of mentality for a 99 cent game. I'm not quite sure whether it's has a will have a big enough audience where I go, oh, we've got to see this great you know, it may just be the people who play it really love it, rather than being a kind of phenomenon. And maybe it's because it's called Bird Zapper. People, you know, there's only so many games we can say the next Angry Birds. And if they keep having birds in the title, like Tiny Wings, it almost shouldn't have birds in the title, because it almost becomes like an anti-prediction, anti-prophecy.
Birds sell, John. The demographic who own iPods and iPhones.
That's an interesting point. I think birds are interesting because they probably are a species of animal that sell across both genders. So probably if you have pigs, like little boys go, "Oh, pigs are really funny," and girls go, "Oh, don't like pigs." I don't know. You know, I'm sure there's psychological studies about everyone likes polar bears. I guess maybe you should do polar bear zapper.
I don't like polar bears.
You not?
Not really. No, I've seen what they do in their spare time when they're not being filmed.
What did they eat? Did they eat your mints?
Yes.
Your glacier mints were all munched up.
No, they're quite vicious, actually.
Yes, they are. They're big bears, but they look cute.
Pandas aren't vicious, are they?
Pandas are horrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. You're blowing all my.
Oh. All animals are horrible. We don't need to anthropomorphize models. Were you having the caffeine, or somehow
I've been secretly linking it across the across Skype. I do feel like the caffeine low is starting to kick in, though, I must admit. This news of the pandas being vicious have just knocked the wind out of me.
Yeah, they're more vegetarians than grizzly bears, but they don't really go chasing after you. But they're not nice. They're not, you know, not budgerigars, are they?
Budgerigars aren't nice. Don't be silly.
Where are we going with this? I'm not quite sure.
I don't know. We've gone into which animals are nice.
Yeah. What about hedgehogs? Hedgehogs are nice.
I don't mind hedgehogs.
Let's just tread on one. That might hurt.
No, if you're with a shoe, him more than you. Anyway, this is getting very strange. We should wrap it up, I think, for a week. Thank you very much for listening. Apologies for the little off-topic conversation at the end there. The topic is games. Right. So, yes, we will be back next week with more news, more game reviews, and more rumours. I'm from John and myself. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.